on. What a way to start the Sunday. It's wonderful. My granddaughter wanted to learn to play flute. Daddy, I want to play the flute. So she took lessons for a while, and then because her best friend played clarinet, she taught herself clarinet. So, good morning. My name's Gail.
Good morning.
And I say I'm from Lincoln Creek. The people who are natives at Lincoln Creek say Creek and not Creek. Anyway. So, here we go for Sunday. Good word for Sunday. Pray for others. With faith, I see the truth in any situation. When I'm asked to pray for others, I look beyond the story of their lives. Instead, I discern the truth beneath appearances to find the sacred essence of each situation. Knowing that each of us is a living expression of God, I affirm that divine qualities are active in others, healing life, harmonizing love, prospering wisdom, and so much more. I see the divine nature of every person and know that they have access to all the attributes of God. Seeing this deeper truth allows me to stand firm in faith as I pray for others. No matter how sad or discouraged they may feel, I pray knowing their innate strength, power, and wisdom. From John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Thank you.
tired and sore. Where in the world is Rosie today?
Well,
she just didn't want to come, okay.
So she's in Centralia.
We love this morning.
I have a board meeting, I think, today.
Okay, well, whatever.
I'm Tom, by the way.
Hi, Tom, by the way.
Susan, I didn't expect to see you.
Oh, and Penny's downstairs. Good morning, Penny.
Okay. Everybody say good morning to Penny.
Hi, Penny.
Hey, Penny.
Good morning, Penny. We love you.
Good morning, Danny.
Johnny is getting ready to give us a financial report, but in the meantime, I would like to thank Jerry for his prize-winning roses, and I brought an educational wildflower bouquet. So we have
Pearly Everlasting, Queen Anne's Lace. Well, these aren't really wild, but it needed some color. Those are bee balm. My one son says they look like Philistilla flowers. Then I had some perennial fuchsias, and of course the wild daisies, field daisies, and then our standard sword fern. So here we go, Johnny. It's all yours.
Did you ask if there's any announcements?
Well, I was going to ask that after.
Oh, you should ask that first.
Okay. Are there any other announcements?
Yeah, I just wanted to recognize Johnny for once again doing an excellent job on our lawn, making that look gorgeous. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I would like to thank Vern for opening the church and making people welcome here first thing in the morning. And I'll give you other thank yous later. Are you ready now, John?
Gail?
Is there anything on this?
Oh, yes.
We need some reading volunteers for next week and then in August, so if that's you, let me know. The other thing is this afternoon at 3 o'clock at Grandfather Roy Wilson's place, he's having his monthly Christian Native American service, but it's also his birthday this next week, and there's going to be a bit of a celebration around that. So if you're free at 3 o'clock, it's in Wenlock, and someone can give you directions if you don't know how to get there.
Thank you. Okay, Johnny, it's all yours.
Is it? Thank you, Tom, but I didn't do anything to the lawn. And yesterday when I was putting all these treasure things together, I wanted to come back and mow all those dandelions down. And then this morning I thought, well, you know, they really look kind of nice. So. They don't matter if I mow them. No, I wouldn't mow the lawn right now, I'd just be mowing the weeds. So it's been a busy week. So if you can see that up there, this is where our account balance is right now. Oh, the church board decided that we should give you guys a regular treasurer's report. You know, we do this every time we have a board meeting. And so usually we only do this once a year at our annual membership meeting. So a while ago on the board we decided, hey, let's do that every quarter. So this is our second quarter report. And as you can see, we're still sitting with about $1,000 in our savings. And our checking account shows $4,215.95. That our minimum balance there is $1,000. So we really have $3,215 in there right at the moment, which is going to change just a little bit here. And our average monthly income. Real quick, I've handed out all of these that were going to be up on the screen. I handed some out on that side and some out on this side. So you can pass them around if there's anything that you want to see that you really didn't get to see good enough. And so this is just kind of a our monthly income, our average monthly income for this year, for each month. And it doesn't include any of our outreach money. This is just the money that we're using to pay our bills. As you can see in the 7 months that we've gone through, four of those months, we've brought in more money than what we're spending on our bills. And in the other 3 months, just a little bit less. So all in all, we're doing very well. The next thing is the profit and loss statement for that. And for the month of June, we're not looking too bad. We ended up showing an overall profit of $444.81, which isn't too bad for the month of June. And if we look at how we've done for the whole year, this one's pretty significant here. So we're going to look at some of these numbers here. You can see how much money we've contributed in our weekly offerings, how much money went into our outreach funds. And, our net income is $438. So it's a good thing we got our coffee rest fund, where we would be showing a loss of a couple of $100 right there. So we're not doing too bad at all. And then for the month of July, our budget looks pretty much like it does most months. We spend money on all these things, our insurance, the garbage, telephone. We tithe $60 a month to Unity of Worldwide. And they send us a regular thank you letter. We also have an advertisement in the paper and our utility bill that we pay for our housekeeping services. Our other regularly scheduled bills are our speakers and our musicians. And we average somewhere around $1,500 a month. It's only $1,419 this month, thanks to some folks who are volunteering their time. And for last month, I think it was right around $1,500, just a little bit more last month. We spend a little bit more on the electric bill and on speakers who come from out of the area. And our last thing, our community outreach. So wonderful people. Well, they've been putting money in that copper can. And for the year, for the second quarter of this year, we managed to donate $392.17 to go to our outreach people that we selected.
Until yesterday, I mailed a check to Robin Petrosani, who takes care of Hot Soup in Centralia, for that $156 amount. Some money over to Gather Church, who helps with our homeless folks here, and some money to the Goose County Food Bank. That's the amount that goes into our reserve fund. We still have a little bit of money left in our reserve fund from the first quarter. So our total reserve fund that we're keeping right now is $63.07. That is all I have to give you folks. So, is there any questions? If not, I'll sit back down and we can continue our services. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Johnny.
You're welcome.
Appreciate all your work on that, Johnny.
Yes, that is a lot of work.
And you know, it'd be nice to see our savings increase. So next year when we're doing two coffee rest stops, remember that. We need to get a little money in the savings account so we can get a new roof here in the next few years.
So that's...
No grumbling at the next coffee rest stop.
The coffee rest stops are fun because we get to talk to people from many places. And sometimes we even see people we know that are traveling. So I think it's a fun thing myself. So are there any other announcements that came to mind while we were going over numbers? No? All right. So our unity statement. You'll find that in your program. If you would say that with me, please. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. Our song of joy you'll find on a sheet of paper. And I'd love to tell the story, three verses. If you would stand for that, please.
Thank you.
Our reading this morning is given by our board member, Tom.
This is from The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. Love is not selective, just as the light of the sun is not selective. Does not make one person special. It is not exclusive. Exclusivity is not the love of God, but the love of ego. However, the intensity with which true love is felt can vary. There may be one person who reflects your love back to you more clearly and more intensely than others. And if that person feels the same towards you, it can be said that you are in love, in a love relationship with him or her. The bond that connects you with that person is the same bond that connects you with the person sitting next to you on a bus, or with a bird, a tree, a flower. Only the degree of intensity with which it is felt differs. Even in an otherwise addictive relationship, there may be moments when something more real shines through, something beyond your mutually addictive needs. These are moments when both you and your partner's mind briefly subside, and the pain body is temporarily in a dormant state. This may happen sometimes during physical intimacy, or when you are both witnessing the miracle of childbirth, or in the presence of death, or when one of you is seriously ill. Anything that renders the mind powerless. When this happens, your being, which is usually buried underneath the mind, becomes revealed. And it is this that makes true communication possible. True communication is communion, the realization of oneness, which is love. Usually, this is quickly lost again unless you are able to stay present long enough to keep out the mind and its old patterns. As soon as the mind in your mind, as soon as the mind and mind identification return, you are no longer yourself, but a mental image of yourself, and you start playing games and roles again to get your ego needs met. You are a human mind again, pretending to be a human being, interacting with another mind, playing a drama called love. Although brief glimpses are possible, love cannot flourish unless you are permanently free of mind identification and your presence is intense enough to have dissolved the pain body. Or you can at least remain present as the watcher. The pain body cannot take over you and so become disruptive of love.
Thank you, Tom. For our meditation song, In the Garden, please remain seated.
Thank you.
you will join me in the affirmations. You'll find them in your program as well. Let's say those together. I am the love of God in expression. I am truly thankful for all the good I already experience. I am growing more prosperous with every day. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. And I am at peace, knowing everything I need comes to me in the perfect time. Today we're saying the alternative Lord's Prayer, the progressive Lord's Prayer. You'll find that in just inside the front cover of your songbook. And once we've completed saying that, if you would just return that to the songbook, please. Here we go. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I am. I am thy kingdom come. I am thy will being done. I am on earth, even as I am in heaven. I am giving this day daily bread to all. I am forgiving all life, even as I am also all life forgiving me. I am leading all men and women from temptation. I am delivering all men and women from error. For I am the kingdom, I am in power, and I am the glory of God in eternal, immortal manifestation. All this I am. Have the honor to introduce our speaker. She tells me she's done many things for employment and finally thought that she would just love to be a teacher. So she went to university and became a teacher. Is sixth grade, is that right? Sixth grade, which to me would be way challenging in terms of the behavior and the math. I've worked with little kids. That math is easy. So, please welcome Eileen.
Now, it's been a few years since I've had to teach math to sixth graders, to be honest. I teach social studies, sixth grade social studies at this point, so it works out fairly well. Johnny is going to move this.
Okay.
All right, so that I can put my own things up here and spread out a little. Stay. All right. Okay, let me. There we go. There. Open this here. Okay. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, now let me do this because I like to move. So, I am here this morning because Miss D'Erica has made some changes in her life. Some pretty marvelous changes. So she is, I believe, in Ocean Shores now, working on getting her classroom ready so that she can teach some summer school. And so I got a call last week wanting to know if I could fill in. And I had planned to be out of town, but I'm supposed to be here for a board meeting, so here I am. Lucky me, D'Erica had done a lot of work already to prepare for today, so I'm going to roll with a lot of her work. It made my life easier. So today we're going to talk about change. I think it was interesting that she was working on a talk for change when she had so much change coming up in her life right now. So we're going to roll with that. So Benjamin Franklin is credited with having said, "But in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes." Right? Most of us, yeah, death and taxes.
didn't have to pay this year. Woo. All right, so I'd like to amend that death taxes and change are those things that can be certain. Life, all three are certainties, and all three we work to avoid as much as humanly possible, right? Most of us don't like to pay taxes. Most of us avoid dying, right?
So far. Okay.
All right. And many of us do not care for change. It's not a comfortable thing. So we're going to talk a little bit about change today. So D'Erica has here a quote. She said that this was a favorite thought that Spirit gave her while she was preparing. It says, "Let's learn to celebrate change. Then we can see more, understand more, believe more, transition faster, open more doors, create more, and access more." So we're going to change in order to have more great stuff in our lives, right? So she had done a lot of work with preparing, I'm going to call it an acrostic, not quite a poem, but she broke down change as such. C, co-creators. H, happening all the time. A, access. N, newness. G, growth. And E, effect. So we're going to take a look at each of those pieces. All right, so co-creators. How many of us know that we co-create our existence with God? Right? Awesome. So we have a stake in that. We have some part in what happens in our life on a daily basis. So we can speak things into existence. We can call things into being. We can and do have the power to create change when and where it is needed. So I had found this interesting little tidbit here. I have apparently several books by this Mary Alice and Richard Jafula. That's how I'm going to say that. All right. And this one is called The Simple Truth, and it's a delightful little book. It's got like all these little subsections, and it's just like 3 pages on a topic. I'm like, sweet, I can get through 3 pages on a topic and feel pretty good about it. And so here it says, the power of your ruling ability lies mainly in two very important arenas, your thoughts and your words. Thoughts and words are the bricks and mortar with which you build your kingdom. They have creative power. And when you really believe what you think and say, your thoughts and words go forth as loyal subjects to do the bidding of their ruler, which is you. So if I want change, I have to think about that change, I have to say that change, and I have to believe that change. And it goes forth and it happens. When we actually articulate a thought, it shocks the body with its stark power. Self-talk has the same effect on an individual as talk from another person. Maybe even more, since when we speak, we have an audience of 100 trillion cells listening. It's the largest audience we will ever speak to. And each cell is attentive to our wishes. The more we hear a thought expressed in silence or as words, the more we will try, either consciously or unconsciously, to make it a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I want to talk a little bit about that self-talk. It has taken me a long time to get to a place where I do not say mean things about myself. And so I kind of make it a point to not be very nice when I point out to others that they need to say nice things to themselves. Okay? And so I had an interesting, there was a lovely woman that I work with. She hosted our end of year staff party. If you're not a teacher, you may not understand that when the school year ends, we go get intoxicated at somebody else's house. Okay? There's some kind of a shindig and everybody's invited. There's usually food and beverage of choice. And you stay as long as you want to and you unwind, because especially that last month of school, it is crazy hecticness. Okay? So we went to this woman's home, and it was one of those beautiful homes. I mean, I think I have a fairly nice little house, but this was a huge, beautiful home. We rolled up, and it was like the driveway was paved, and then it had all those fancy stones around the edge, and it was a circular drive up to the house with the big column pillars, and then you walked in and it had the staircase that went up and around the grand piano. And I was like, oh my. And I said to her, you have a beautiful home. She says, well, it needs to be updated. Andrea, darling, no. Try that again. You have a beautiful home. The proper response is, gee, thanks. Okay, accept it. Be okay with it. Johnny's sitting over here, and Tom says, thank you, Johnny, for the beautiful work with our lawn. And Johnny's over here, I didn't do anything. No, dude, you say thank you. Have you ever done anything for the lawn? Yes, so you say thank you. You have some part in that. Say thank you. I have a son-in-law. I have two son-in-laws, actually. My younger daughter married a young man that, God help me, I struggle sometimes to be acceptant of the acceptance of that relationship. And we were there visiting last week, and I had to take a look and go, he's a really broken young man. He needs a lot of love, and he needs a lot of work. So, let it go, be okay. And he says some really awful things about himself. And so when I was reading through this particular passage this week, I went, yeah, he just keeps saying these things to himself and about himself, and it's just continuing to damage himself. So we're gonna work on that. Because he made a claim that he couldn't come spend time with us while we were visiting because we were going to say these horrible things about him and to him. And I looked at my daughter and I said, the last conversation I had with him, he said these horrible things, and I was the one that said, no, you don't get to say that. You do not get to create that for yourself in my presence. If you want to talk about yourself in private that way, go right ahead, but you will not talk about yourself that way with me. It's not okay. So it's one of those things where I try to be nice about it, but you're going to say nice things about yourself in my presence, or you're not going to say anything at all. Are we familiar with that? If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. All right, because we're creating that. We are creating with every word that we say. So there were a couple pieces of scripture, and I went ahead and I chose one here to go with this piece about creating. And it's Romans 12, verse 2. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Okay? So again, with that changing the way we think, that changing, that co-creating. So we're going to move on to H. We have happening all the time. I'm sorry to tell you, but change is happening all the time within your very being. By the millisecond, cells are changing in your body. The world around you is changing. The air around you is moving and therefore changing every single second, every moment of your life and day. Are you with me there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it's happening all the time. So we are experiencing this existence as a transition every moment. Is transitioning. We are constantly transitioning in one way or another. Our time in this existence in itself is a transition to our next form or plane of existence. Now, I don't know about you, I'm going to get a little woo-woo, my mom would call it, right here. My belief is that I'm going to go through this stage of my existence, and when I'm done with this stage of existence, I then will get to become energy. I don't know if any of you ever saw that movie Powder.
Yeah.
It was in the 90s, right? And I was fascinated by that movie. And at the end, he is struck by lightning and he like disappears in this burst of light. And at that time when I was like, I don't even know how old I was, you know, like early teens maybe, I thought, wow. And it didn't really click for me until much later because that particular image has played back in my head over and over and over again. And I was having a conversation with my uncle not too long ago and he says, well, Eileen, what do you believe happens when you die? I said, well, I believe I just become energy. That spark within me is very much a spark, and that when my body decides to let go of it, it just goes out into the universe and becomes part of that great energy that all of us are and everything is. Then when my energy wants to, it'll come back together and it'll be born again into whatever form it's chosen. That's my personal belief. And I'm hoping that this is an okay place for me to have such a belief. I believe so. Thank you, Tom. Thank you for affirming me. I needed that. So that's just kind of my personal thoughts in that transition, that happening, and that my body, as it is right now, is constantly preparing for that moment when my energy says, I am so full and so ready to just let go and become, once again, a part of all of the energy that is. That's kind of my thought process on how this happens for me. So every day we are changing, as is our world around us. We may not see the changes, but they are there, always present. I don't see all of the cells in my body that divide and die every second, but I know that they're doing it because science tells me so, okay? And then some are fast and some are slow, like evolution. And change is happening right now in this moment. I wanted to read through a time for everything. I cannot say this, Ecclesiastes. How do we say that?
Ecclesiastes.
Dude, I would not have gotten that. Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. Ah, thank you. All right, so Ecclesiastes. And I have chapter 3. And we're going to start here with verse 1. Because this for me is kind of a big thing. So a time for everything. For everything, there is a season. A time for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to cry and a time to laugh. A time to grieve and a time to dance. Sometimes those happen at the same time. Grieving and dancing. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to turn away. A time to search and a time to quit searching. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be quiet and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. I just really enjoy that. There is a time for all of those things, the positive and the negative. Knowing, you know, as long as we take the time to recognize the positive within those negatives and the purpose behind them, there is a time for all of it. So we access. Now, Dierica had A as access, and as I was reading through things, I thought access works, but I also like attitude.
Yeah.
It's another good A word. And I came to that mostly when I came across this piece from Celebrate Yourself by Eric Butterworth. It says, if you are not satisfied with the direction your life has taken or with the experiences that continually manifest, you can change by getting into the kind of attitudes and feelings that you assume you would have if you were now experiencing the desired conditions. That says, fake it till you make it to me. This is what I want to experience, and I believe that I would feel this way when I'm experiencing it, so I'm going to feel that way. I'm going to feel that way, I'm going to feel that way, until it happens, and I really am feeling that way. That's kind of how I read that. So you're going to go ahead and you're going to assume those feelings until you're experiencing the desired conditions. So we access new thoughts when we experience change. We experience new territory, new dimensions of self, new dimensions of spirit, new hope, new prosperity, new stamina, new relationships, new opportunities, new gifts. New, right? We access and experience all of these new things with this attitude. So we often overlook the world of new access, this reality of good fortune related to change due to fear of change or due to being pushed from our comfort zone and experiencing change. How many of us stay in the same rut because it's scary to change things? Dude, I could eat the same thing 5 nights a week because I don't want to try something. That's not me, but that would be my grandson. He's 4 and a half, and he has a very limited repertoire of things he will put in his mouth, at least for consuming. I mean, he'll chew on just about anything, but, you know, that's a whole other thing. But, I mean, from the time we're children, I don't want to try that. That's new. That's scary. And then as we get older, it doesn't get any easier because we have this perception that everybody's looking. And I have come to that conclusion that I spend a lot of time getting dressed. And when I get dressed, I look at myself and I'm like, oh my gosh, that looks awful. I can't wear that.
And then I came to the realization here in the last couple months, everybody already knows I look like that. Right? Why am I so worried about what they're going to see? They've already seen this. So I had to change my own thinking. I had to change the way I looked at when I got dressed. Oh, well, if I sit this way, then this pooch is here, and if I do this, then this. Dude, I sit down all the time. And anybody that looks has seen it. So it's okay. Right? So there are some of those changes in thought, you know, accessing new attitudes. We need to rise above those fears and push through to a new comfort zone to experience the positives of change. I am constantly pushing through those comfort zones and moving to a new comfort zone so that I can experience positive change. Walking through the doors to this building was pushing out of my comfort zone. Dude, it was a good move. This is a good comfort zone. Singing in front of y'all, believe it or not, was absolutely terrifying when I first started coming here. Whew, and then I was asked if I'd sing regularly, like with a microphone. Pushed through that comfort zone, experienced a new one. Okay. Eileen, can you speak? I guess so. Push through that comfort zone, experience a new one. Even just in this space, the comfort zone and those pushing and those experiences, those change, they've been amazing. I'm gonna rattle about myself. Dude, okay, so newness. We're gonna move on to N, newness. One of the rationales of the faith of Christ is the idea of new life. It is something we must have a desire to see and a faith in to manifest. So taking a look at experiencing a new life, creating a new life, that change. So can life be new? Some have a hard time believing sins can be cleansed, forgiveness can occur, past can be pardoned, and cleaned souls and minds can be renewed. Healing can occur for any condition, or that there is life after death. But this is the teachings of Christ. We can get stuck in routine daily and forget to expect newness or to look for it or to see ourselves coming to newness. There's a love as deep as Christ's love for desires that we experience newness of life being lifted and inspired, revived and empowered as a lifestyle. That's D'Erica's words. She's pretty awesome. So I have a piece of scripture here picked out, and actually, yeah, this one was mine. So I have 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. So by choosing to focus on your Christ self and become aware of that light inside you, you're becoming a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. So back to that son-in-law and my daughter, I snapped a picture of something I was reading the other day, and I sent it to her, and I said, you have to understand, I am choosing. I'm making a choice for change, and I am choosing to let go of some of this negativity. My old self is gone. That piece of me that was judging and unhappy and angry, I let go of that so that I could experience something new. And we're going to be supportive. And she was like, okay, Mom, you got weird. Yeah, I'm getting better is what I'm getting. G, we have growth. So growth and maturity, D'Erica says, can't be faked. Okay. I have to agree to some point. Because I think I fake it a lot. My mom can fake maturity for a short period of time, and then her inner devil comes out. And she says things that no really mature person should say. She always says it with a grin and a laughter. My mom has a wicked sense of humor. And I'm not sure if that's maturity or not. But it's lots of fun. But I can agree though. I mean, true growth can't be faked. You can fake it till you make it, but eventually you'll make it. You know what I mean? All right, so change is a necessity for growth. You can't grow if you're not willing to change. You just can't. If you're not willing to make some changes, you're stuck where you are and where you've been. whether you like it or not. Usually you don't, right? All right, so change of conditions, change of environment, change of temperature, spiritual change, insert any form of change here. You need to have some growth in order to experience change. So we are always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of our potential, as we say here in Unity. So effect. What is the effect or impact of our actions, thoughts, and words? Now here we had a lot of talk at school about our intention versus our impact. And it is, I said something and my intention was this, but it impacted the person this way. And having to be aware that although our intentions may not have been negative, somebody else's life experiences that they bring to that moment causes our words to have an impact other than what we intended. So intentions versus impact. And so what is the effect or impact of our actions, thoughts, and words? Change. We may not always see it, but we have an effect on others. We have an effect on the world around us. So change comes through effects, which sets in motion the energy that causes the change. Be aware of your effects, your impact on the world around you. Make them positive whenever possible. Don't underestimate the power of effect. It can go forth and signal the powers that be and transpire change. So that going back to some of those words and those creating things that we can do, that effect that we're having just by speaking. So we've gone back through, we've gone through change. We've gone through C, being our co-creators, where we are creating with God in every moment. Happening all the time, that it is in every moment. That we have access and that our attitude impacts our change. Newness, experiencing that new life, that newness within ourselves. And growth, we must allow change in order to grow. And then that effect, the effect that we are having on the world around us and ourselves all at the same time. All right. So my last bit of scripture here is 1 Corinthians. That one I can say. Corinthians. Side note, when we study ancient Greece, we have the Greek Olympics, and one of our city-states is Corinth. So I've read about these Corinthians other than my Bible. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, 52. We will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. We just have to be ready for it and willing and open. All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that, we are running really short on time. I apologize. So please take a moment, settle in, get comfortable. Take a deep breath. I invite you to close your eyes if you so choose. I found this little tidbit here in the Offbeat Prayers for the Modern Mystic. I am on the edge of a new way of thinking and I need reinforcements. I get so excited about truth, but every once in a while those old feelings come to mind. Suppose this stuff doesn't work. Suppose I'm in denial. Suppose I am losing my mind. I've got one foot standing in the old way of thinking and the other one standing in the truth. Sometimes I lose a foothold on the truth and fall flat on my past. Help. I'm not used to believing in my good on a full-time basis. It's only been a part-time effort. I need to go on my good belief system on a full-time basis. Deliver me from the desert of my mind to the promised land, the land of peace of mind. I don't want to struggle about this change, changing my belief system from one based on fear to one based on love should be the easiest thing that I ever do. Help me to realize that the spiritual path is the easy path. Allow me to feel safe and comfortable with a life that is safe and comfortable. Help me not to fear when things go well, thinking that the other shoe has to drop any time. Convince me that when things go well, that my good is followed by a greater good. Give me safe passage to the land of the easy disciple so that I may dwell in heaven on earth. Let me fear not so that I might receive your good tidings of great joy. And I invite you to take a few moments of silence, focusing on that change, allowing for your mind to open and your body to open to change. Whether that be change in your body, change in your mind, change in your circumstances. And so it is. Amen. Thank you very much. Change is not always easy, for sure. Having grown up in Lewis County and in the 70s, I was offered a job in San Diego, California, and I didn't have much time to think about it. But the thought that came to me is, if I don't get out of Lewis County now, I never will. I came back, though, obviously. There will be two containers coming around. It is time for our offering. The silver one is for supporting our church, and the copper one is for our outreach programs. Our offering prayer is located inside your program. Let's say it together as we hold our offering in our hands. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I give and all that I receive. The morning
offering.
privileged to be able to hear such professional music. My goodness. So I would like to thank Penny downstairs for being our greeter this morning, and obviously for our musician Joyce, and our reader Tom, and our speaker Eileen. So let's stand now and sing our peace song. Let's see if we can form a circle this morning.
No healing terms.
Oh, I forgot something, didn't I? Oh my goodness. I didn't turn the page. The blessing of thanks and then our healing prayer. Oh my goodness. We don't get to eat yet. So we bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us, multiplied abundantly, and so it is. Our healing prayer, which of course is very important. If you'd like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, just call out their name or hold them quietly in your heart. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. Our prayer of protection you'll find on the wall or on the back of your program. Let's say that together, please. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And there's time for everything. I was watching the clock instead of the agenda, to be frank. And so now we can circle up and sing our peace song.
Make it okay next week. I won't be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.